Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would give us attentive minds now as we consider what you did. We pray that this night would not pass without affecting each of us. We ask that this truth that you're sending your Son, Jesus, that this truth would be proclaimed throughout the world, that you would be with your people wherever they are in the harshest of territories. We pray for missionaries who are in harm's way, for those that are forgotten this evening. We know you have not forgotten them, and so we ask for grace where it is needed. We pray for those who are persecuted, that you would be their refuge. We pray now, Lord, that you would change us, that you would cause us to understand more what you did. We give you this night. We dedicate it to you. We ask that you would speak by your Holy Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 2, I'm going to read, and we're going to go through this briefly. In those days, and many of you have heard this text 30 times, 40 times, 100 times, but let's just consider this afresh tonight. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius, the governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. There, it's so important. Joseph was from the town of David. Joseph was. So he went home and brought his betrothed with him. God knew where Jesus was to be born, in the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. This just seems so quick, doesn't it? While they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Such a fuzzy, like a warm, fuzzy story, it seems. But this is raw. He's born where the animals would be kept. He's born with no safe, clean environment. He's born. Mary goes through it. Joseph's there, perhaps outside the room, wondering why is she screaming. But the appropriate thing for him in that culture was to stay out of the room and let her do this on her own. Or he wouldn't go in there. Mary's a young lady. And there she is. She gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Verse 8, in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. An equally dirty group as the dirtiness that's going on within that stable. There is a filthy group of shepherds out in the field. Now you say, well, how do you know that they were filthy? They were shepherds. That's how I know they were filthy. They were shepherds. Leather-skinned shepherds. Aged by the sun day and night. The rain, the wind, the weather meant nothing to them. Shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. These shepherds wouldn't go in at night. They were out at night. They were of that kind of shepherds. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. Appropriate. God would send this message to the shepherds of all people. The scum. The smelly. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. Brothers and sisters who call New Life your home, what does that sound like to you? The glory of the Lord shone around them. It's as if we're back in Exodus and Moses is at the top of Mount Sinai and the glory of the Lord has just encompassed him. Well, the shepherds are there this time being encompassed by the glory of the Lord. And they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you, your son, your child, this is for you, shepherds. For unto you is born this day in the city of David." In the city of David. David, the shepherds would think, is this the day that we will be redeemed? A Savior, who is Christ, Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby, wrapped in swaddling clothes. I'm not in the King James Version. Is everybody with me? You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. What? What? The Messiah is in swaddling clothes in a manger? That's my home, the shepherds would think. That fits right with me. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God. Imagine the shepherds. They were praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased." Think of we don't often do this, but think of from the perspective of the angels. The buzz. Today's the day. Did you hear that today's the day we're going to go? We've just gotten the okay to go and proclaim the good news that we've been waiting for. Imagine how boisterous they would have been. Glory to God! This is the day we've been waiting for it since Adam fell. Honestly, glory to God! He's come, the Savior. Glory to God, pretty high, no? Glory to God in the highest. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, I think that's what they said first. Shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened. We gotta, hey, what about the sheep? Did you hear any discussion about the sheep here? Let us go over to Bethlehem to see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste. I think the sheep were not an issue at that point. The sheep, I think we need to go. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. What? You saw a multitude of angels proclaiming glory to God in the highest? And they told you that this was to be the Messiah, the Christ? They told you? Yeah, they did. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. Can you imagine? But Mary treasured up these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying the shepherds now. The shepherds are glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. The shepherds were praising. Now, do you think, let's just have an imagination for a moment. Do you think that the shepherds would be those that would be the first in line to praise God, to shout praise to God, generally speaking in the culture that we're speaking of? The shepherds, or would it have been those within the temple, the clean ones, the washed hands ones, those that were anointed with oil, those that had their bleached robes, those that walked around and prayed, those people? Only the shepherds now are the ones glorifying God, praising God. They're the ones that have been chosen to bear this good news. And they get to tell people that we were out in the field. We were out there. We looked up and we didn't see stars. We saw a multitude of angels. And we, of all people, we were scared. Shepherds, don't get scared. David, remember, was a shepherd, and he dealt with several animals. And then he dealt with another man as a young boy who was a giant. He didn't get scared. Shepherds don't get scared. These guys were okay saying, we were shaking. Or how did Luke find out about this? But them relaying that message to someone who relayed that message, so on. That's crucial. We were scared. But the story doesn't end there, does it? Just stay with me for another few moments. Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying God and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus. Yahweh saves, or Yahweh is salvation. The name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. This baby, the Messiah, born in the city of David, of the lineage of David, the kingship of David, is now called Yahweh, God Almighty, capital L-O-R-D, is salvation. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, now there's the link, brothers and sisters, to the Old Testament. This is careful. Luke wants us to see that there's continuity between the Old and the New Testament. According to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. Now stay with me. Here's where I want to get. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. This tells us they were fairly poor people, Mary and Joseph. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout. Now this causes me to tear up just because I'm thinking about the implication of what we're reading here. This was a righteous and devout man. It says he was waiting for the consolation, the comforting of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. This man, Simeon, if you know Jesus Christ, like Simeon, you and I, we have the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Simeon has been waiting to hold the Comforter in his hands, the consolation. Now listen. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God. I want you to imagine for a moment that you're Simeon. Now, this man is an old man, apparently, so we understand. He has been waiting and waiting and waiting for the consolation of Israel. He's waiting and waiting, and here walks in. Now, he's been told by the Holy Spirit, it's time. You go to the temple. It's time. And you will meet there the Comforter, the consolation, the one who will rescue Israel. And so he goes, and there Simeon finds Jesus Christ. Now, let me ask you, what did Simeon have for dinner that night? What did Simeon do the day before? And what about the next day? What did Simeon eat? And who did he meet the next day? And what was on Simeon's mind after he met Jesus Christ? And then the next day, what was Simeon thinking about? I'm asking you these things because it should be no different for you and me. When we talk about, brothers and sisters, when we talk about the coming of Jesus Christ, this is not a peripheral thing. Like, oh yeah, that happened, but something else. This is everything. The Creator of the universe condescended and became man. It is the centerpiece. Now, you say, why are you so passionate about this? Well, I want to ask you just a simple question. What will it take, and I'm asking myself the same question, okay? What will it take to make sure that Christ remains about Christ? What's it going to take? Say, it is about Christ. Is it? Do you know a phrase I'm beginning to not like so much? And if you use it, I apologize, and I'm not thinking of anybody in particular, but a phrase that I've heard often is, we need to put Christ back in Christmas. Let's put Christ back in Christmas. It's so neat, and it's cute, but here's the thing. We don't put Christ in Christmas. Christ is Christmas. There is nothing else. The presents are nothing. Christ is everything. You think, this guy here at New Life, he's nuts. I'm telling you, there is nothing else if there isn't only Christ. What are we doing? What are you doing? And how are you making sure that Christ... Now we families wrestle with this. Kids wrestle with this. Grandparents wrestle with this. Parents wrestle with this. I want to balance, like, you know, we want to give gifts, but we want to make sure that Jesus is part of it. And what is it going to take? And what will you do? What will I do to make sure that Christ is the centerpiece? And if there's something else getting in the way, should we be casual about it? What's it going to take? And I'm speaking to you to a group of people that I know are dearly loved by God. So don't take this as a wrathful message. This is a message of, I'm standing before the Lord thinking, can he share the throne with a gift? No. Yeah, but we just, you know, we want to make sure that it's, and the memories and the family. Listen, it's about Christ coming to earth. It's not about showing this is going to sound bad, so don't take it the wrong way. It's not about showing goodwill to your neighbor. It's about God being gracious and sending his son. And what we need to be showing our neighbors is not goodwill. We need to be showing him Christ or her Christ. Jesus Christ came. He's the creator. Do you understand that the creator, the one who spoke and the world was created, he became a baby that we would have eternal life. That's what Christmas is. Jesus is Christmas. Christmas is Jesus. There shouldn't be the other things. What will it take? Are you willing? Because I don't think the shepherds were thinking, let's go. I'm going to go get some gifts. I'm going to make a shepherd's crook and give it to my aunt now because I'm just so happy. And I don't think Simeon was thinking, wow, honey, we got to make sure that the turkey is done perfectly. And Anna, after Simeon, who learns. Now, after Simeon meets Christ, what happens? He dies. He's been told by the Holy Spirit, you will not see death until you hold in your hands, until you meet the Savior. He meets the Savior, and he passes on without any other inkling. There it is. He's able to die. Now, that was parallel for you and I. When we meet Christ, the question is, when you meet Christ, will you die or not? And if you're sitting here thinking, boy, this is all pretty radical. I think you're just going over the top here. I just want fuzzy red Santa things or whatever. Santa, nothing. Jesus, everything. Okay? Pause. This isn't something that's up for debate. Christ is not part of Christmas. He's all of it. And when you meet him, you either die, as Simeon did, die to the world, die to yourself, die, or you meet him and shake his hand and move on because now you know you met Christ. But here's the thing, brothers and sisters. The appropriate response after meeting Christ, and this sounds odd, is that you give up yourself to him completely. You die to yourself. The Apostle Paul wrote a lot about this and how he saw himself as dead to sin, dead to self. In fact, crucified with Christ Jesus. And he felt like he did not live any longer, but it was Christ who was living in him. Now, on the years after Christ was born, I imagine if Simeon made it another year, he wasn't thinking about anything else but Jesus Christ. Anna, in the same way, and the disciples someday. And I'm challenging you, what will it take to make sure? And just imagine with me for a moment that you didn't want Christ to sit on the throne. What would you do? Let's have a celebration. And I think we can distract with something very attractive. I think we can distract people with something really alluring. How about candy? How about a happy thing? How about happiness? How about a great story? How about... And so this becomes this great distraction from the one thing that it's all about. And the culture of the world loves this. Yeah, good tidings and happiness. But Jesus Christ, let's not lose sight of what this is all about. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, we want to make sure that we are about the appropriate things. And we know that you don't share the throne and you don't want to share the throne. You want to be our Lord, not because you want to be in control, but because you're the only thing, only one, the only God who deserves the throne. There's no more appropriate space for you. So we ask that you would invade our homes tonight, that you would invade our homes tomorrow, that you would cause the conversation to be lifted to your throne. And we ask that as we gather in your name, that it would be in your name that we gather. We love you, Jesus. We commit ourselves to you. We pray this in your name. Amen.